All right, what's going on, everybody? I am your host, Noah.
And I'm your host, Zach.
And this is the Big Chew Podcast. We give you the big info to chew on, but in bite-sized pieces. This way, you don't have to listen to all the mumbo-jumbo and fluff that we carefully took out for you. Now get ready to chow down and knowledge up. We're about to begin the Big Chew Podcast. You know, this is our covering of the Yummy Park Podcast, which is one of our biggest podcasts that we have covered. And this is going to be all about Yummy and her experiences from North Korea and China. Zach, kick us off.
Right, and this entire podcast was very emotional.
Yeah,
it puts listeners in Yummy Park's shoes. It's the story of her journey, really, to freedom. She wasn't able to escape North Korea till she was 13 years old, and this was back in 2007. Now, from North Korea, she escaped to China, and was sold into sex slavery from there. Eventually, she was given freedom from her last Chinese owner and fled to Mongolia. From Mongolia, she got transported to South Korea and finally got her first taste of what real freedom would be. In South Korea, she became obsessed with education and used that knowledge to eventually come to America.
Yeah, so now she's a published author, she's a human rights activist and speaker, but ironically, she says she's still fighting for her freedom of speech here in the States. You know, China and North Korea accuse her of being the propaganda puppet of the West, that she's a CIA trained, and all of this is an act to falsify and demonize their countries. And she's even become a target in America because of her views on censorship and free speech. And we'll get into that.
Right. And just to like rewind, I mean, I remember hearing this in the middle of COVID. It was like super depressing, detrimental. I was worried. You know, what did you think?
I mean, what a harrowing story. What a really powerful woman. All the shit that she went through and then like this, like also all the information that she has. Like, I mean, none of us would have known what's going on in these dark underbellies of China and North Korea. Like, I mean, I didn't know until I heard her story. So,
right. It's like you have an idea and then you hear it from first hand points of view and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot.
Why don't we start off with their education? So to start off, in North Korea, there is no legitimate education. There's no map of the world known to the people. Year one is Kim Jong-un's birthday, who's a dictator in charge. In a nutshell, as a group of people, North Koreans don't know where they are, what year it is, or how long they've been around compared to the rest of the world.
Now, the United Nations, they actually did a full investigation back in 2014, and the conclusion in the end was the only thing that they could come up with that is similar in history is the Holocaust.
To what's going on in North Korea.
Yeah.
North Korea's entire GDP grows from exporting weapons, crystal meth, opium, human trafficking, including sex trafficking and organ trafficking.
Now, in 2017, Kim Jong-un has stated that 30 million North Koreans are malnourished and it's not even being hidden. And they are proud of the fact, while of course, he's an overweight man, at least the last I saw.
Yeah. Here's how Yummy Park explains the structure and rules of North Korea. So first of all, in North Korea, Americans are shown in posters as green-eyed, huge-nosed monsters. And they're told that Americans are North Korea's sworn enemies.
Now, in North Korea, there is a rule where if someone commits a crime, their entire generation is punished endlessly. For example, you could be permanently put in prison or a labor or concentration camp because your grandfather committed a sin. Mm. Usually three generations are punished, but if you challenge any leadership, it could be up to eight generations of punishment.
That's so crazy, dude. Imagine your great-great-great-grandfather did something that they deemed illegal.
Something
that
they said before.
And you're like, yeah. Born in a prison. You're just like, your whole life is in prison.
Which most of them are, but you get the idea.
All right, here's another one. North Korea has been divided into 50 different classes since Kim Jong-un became leader in 1948.
There is only one channel that the government controls, and of course, there's no internet. Sounds like George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah, I'll read a couple here. There's no banks in North Korea. When they use it, they just take the money and don't give it back to you. The government assigns the marriages there.
The regime actively prevents outside resources or help from other nations, purposely keeping their population starving. Now, when people are starving, they are actually capable of thinking of the future. Their future is literally stuck at what's the next meal.
Yeah.
It is important.
Traveling in North Korea is unbelievably difficult. There's only one train that goes to one location. It takes a month to get anywhere. There's no electricity. So, you know, Yummy mentions that there's stories of people pushing the train itself to move it.
Now, also in hospitals in North Korea, you are more likely, she states, to die there because of the lack of sanitation. For instance, nurses use one needle for everyone, and they also don't have penicillin, which is insane. Yeah. So the infection rate is much higher.
So we're going to talk about China. China has such a huge, such a strong relationship with North Korea, and we're going to talk about some of those ties. So Yummy even states, North Korea is owned by China. They use it as total leverage. They use all of North Korea mines, resources, and the people. China has the ability to act as North Korea. So technically, China isn't held responsible for any decisions North Korea makes. Like, they can use it as like a placebo country, right?
They can like influence them to do shit and then be like, oh, it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was North Korea.
Now, without any Chinese regime support, Kim Jong-un couldn't even last even a week. For example, China sends North Korea their oil, which they rely on for missiles, factories,
everything else.
Yeah.
China is currently breaking international law when they capture North Koreans and give them back because of the Geneva Convention. They are considered refugees. And when they give them back to North Korea, a wire is sometimes put through their collarbone to connect these people all at once while the Chinese guards watch this, like, going down.
Now, at the time, could be different now, there were 300,000 North Korean women who are sex slaves right now currently in China. I'm sure that's grown.
And then there's the CCP, which is the Chinese Communist Party, has free market economic freedom, but not political freedom. So unless you fight for freedom, you don't get it. Yummy said in China, they read your social media, even your text, and people give you a social score based on that, and they rate you. The censorship and social credit system in China makes it so if you don't have high social credit, you couldn't even get a bus ticket, even if you had the money to buy it.
Now, without changing the CCP, North Korea also is not going to change. Yeah, which is like, it's stuck. It's stonewalled. And I don't even know if we talk about it, but if you just look at the Earth at night, it's lit up. The only country that's literally dark is North Korea. No power.
Yeah, and asking China to completely change is a really big ask. So, yeah. But, remain hopeful. Let's talk about some of the vocabulary there. The vocabulary in North Korea is structured for complete control of the mind. There is no word for stress, so there can't be an expression of stress, like, in this perfect country.
They focus on, like, the collective thought or mind. So there's no word for love. There's no word for liberty. There's no word for rape. There's no word for friends. There's not even a word for I. This is replaced by we. So you are not an individual. For instance, you cannot say, I like grasshoppers to eat. You're not aware of it. Instead, you have to say, we like grasshoppers to eat.
So that way it's a collective.
I mean, dude, that's like how you control the population right there.
Yeah, you're always one. It said no individualism. It's important to understand that the power of vocabulary and language is also what controls thought. It's the closest thing associated with culture. So this is a huge part of the North Korean problem, and it's a big reason they're so suppressed. Their language literally does not allow them to think independently.
Now, she said George Orwell's Animal Farm in 1984 completely changed her. She had been lied to her whole life by her government, by everyone. And then the people of South Korea told her, everything you've ever learned has been a lie. She said, well, how can I trust what you're saying isn't a lie? This is when she went down to South Korea and got educated. And it wasn't until reading those books that she understood what North Korea really was doing, because she could see the parallels of the North Korean government in those books after she had read them.
Yeah. Yummy said that true oppression is not even knowing you're oppressed. Being so shut off from the world and your every thought run by an institution is true oppression.
So there's some conversations that she had with Joe Rogan, sentimental stories, and she describes one very disturbing, where inside the hospitals where people are constantly dying to the point where corpses would actually pile up. At this point, rats began eating the corpses, starting with the eyeballs because it's the easiest to eat. Yummy says that you would walk into the hospital and see dead bodies with their eyes hollowed out, but it gets worse. Starving children would then begin eating the rats, and then the rats eat the children who pass away from starvation or illness.
God, dude, that's a fucking horror story. That's out of a... Yeah. So then 100% of the population, Yummy says, is desensitized to bodies, like corpses. So for example, growing up as a child, she said there was bodies, you know, flooding the rivers. There's dead bodies on the street corners, all over the place, and in different ages and sizes, and they're all just left there.
Now, going all the way forward from her escape from South Korea, then over to America, she actually enrolled into Columbia University in New York. This is in 2016, so not too long ago, and was totally blindsided, she stated, by the social fabric of the school itself. She said it was always about how you feel about the facts they were learning.
Yeah, all about how you feel, never about the facts. She said that humanity class in Columbia University was said that men holding the door for you was them showing their toxic masculinity and holding it over you.
Now, the professors would send out emails in advance to students if their text was discussing issues like rape or racism, explaining that if it triggers you, you don't have to do the reading. And if in the middle of the class you are triggered, it's okay to leave without telling them why. This is in college, like grown ass adults.
And a really prestigious college, Columbia.
Quote unquote. How do you say?
She talked about Western music philosophy class in Columbia. She said Beethoven and Mozart were said to be bigots and shouldn't be listened to, and that Jane Austen was living in a time of white supremacy, so her work shouldn't be read. She said at Columbia University, the thing she heard over and over again for 4 years was that the only way to fix America was to tear down the foundation of the country, that the Constitution itself was bigotry written by white supremacists.
Right. Now, she actually made a video about the Second Amendment. She mentions that if every Hong Kong resident had a gun, they wouldn't have been able to be taken over by the government. Now, 75% of Hong Kong residents went into the streets demanding that they wanted freedom and to be independent, and they were shut down by the CCP because they had no self-defense. She made the case that even if 20% of the population of North Korea had guns, they could defend themselves.
So, big time Second Amendment. She said Trump was the first president ever to call out China in its support of North Korea, but she also said Trump sitting down with Kim Jong-un was a mistake.
Yummy said, not talking about the darkness allows the darkness to continue, which is why we're doing this podcast, so this is important. Talking about our full nature lets you be aware of it so you can prepare for it. Now, deplatforming, banning hate speech, doxing people, this doesn't get rid of the problem. She mentions it makes it, creates it, lets it stick around, which
masks it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll split this up. So this is the big chew we got out of this, and pretty big stuff. YouTube demonetized all of Yummy's videos with her talking about women getting sold in China. They took down those videos and demonetized them, claiming that it somehow doesn't meet the YouTube guidelines. But they let North Korea's regime propaganda channel stay up. YouTube is giving platform to a dictatorship, but not a platform for the actual people fighting for justice and the very thing that put her there. North Korea hackers were tracking Yummy and still are to this day. She is one of the top priority hit lists for North Korea.
Now, before her book was published by Penguin Publishing, they received death threats, bomb threats, if they were actually going to go through with it. North Korea even reached out to the publisher directly to try and sit down with him because she didn't comply. They put three generations of her family on the propaganda channel on YouTube, and they've disappeared, presumed dead or eventually to death. They even killed her neighbors, entire generations of her father and mother's side. This was allowed a propaganda channel on YouTube, which is fucked.
Yeah, and we're uploading this on YouTube, so hopefully it stays.
It's still fucked. Whatever.
It's still fucked. Yeah, no, hopefully it stays up. And then this is our second big chew. So this is also pretty nuts. Right now, one of the biggest growing industries in China is hospitals being built for organ transplants. Here in America, to get an organ transplant, on average, it takes 3 to 5 years. In China, if you need an organ, it can get to you in 2 to 3 hours. How is that possible, you might ask? Most of these organs come from North Koreans and their own Chinese prisoners. This trade is over $1 billion a year for the Chinese and growing.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah, so, there's a reason why this one went nuts and this podcast grew really.
And I am curious, and we can leave the video playing it before we close out. Like, if this is the first one we put up, do we want to deal with it? Because we got shadow banned everywhere else when this went up as a third episode. But it also was the biggest. It was the most played, without a doubt, in a single day than any other one we released.
Yeah, I think we're going to put it up. And because we mentioned this, that we did, like, you know, we got, like, it got a lot of traction, but it also got shadow banned and all that stuff. I'm in it to win it. So I say we risk it for the biscuit, baby.
We'll see you guys later. I hope that you learned something. And honestly, that it just brings awareness. Just be thinking about that when you're watching the news. It's not going to be mentioned. It's not going to be said. So
we'll see you guys on another episode of the Big Chew Podcast. Catch you later.